Hi, I'm Gary, and this is EV Musings, a podcast about renewables, electric vehicles, and things that are interesting to electric vehicle owners. On the show today, we'll be looking at roaming. This season of the podcast is sponsored by ZapMap, the go-to app for EV drivers, helping you find and pay for public charging with confidence wherever you go. Our main topic of discussion today is roaming. A couple of years ago, I was in France and I was returning to the ferry to come back to the UK. And alongside a couple of friends of mine in other electric vehicles, we needed to stop for a charge at one of the motorway service stations over there. We pulled into one about an hour south of Dieppe on the N27 to find a row of brand new ultra-rapid chargers from a company I'd never heard of before, Vallée et Cabrols. Everything was in French, of course, and there were QR codes suggesting we download an app, as is to be expected. We could probably have paid with contactless, but there's always the fees associated with that in a foreign country, etc., etc. Undeterred, I reached into my wallet and extracted an RFID card linked to a UK roaming service, flashed the card against the appropriate reader, and literally within a second or so, the card had been recognised and we were able to charge. From stopping the car to receiving electrons, about 30 seconds. No hassle, no fuss, no delay. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Roaming. What is it? Who does it? What are the upsides and downsides? And what do the Public Charge Point Regulations 2023 have to say about it? So to start, roaming is basically the ability of a charge point to accept payment and authorization via an app or service that is not directly provided by the charge point operator that is operating the charge point. Essentially, EV payment roaming allows drivers to use a single account to access and pay for charging services at various charge point networks without needing separate accounts for each network. It's aimed at enhancing user convenience and helping to boost EV adoption. It can be via an app or an RFID card, and it can be linked to an individual or to a car. Now, in the 7 years since I've been driving electric and the 6 years since I've been doing this podcast, the UK has made some pretty significant strides in EV infrastructure. But with multiple charging networks, each having their own apps and all their own RFID cards and their own pricing, interoperability remains a challenge. Roaming is a way to address this by enabling, in theory, seamless transactions across multiple networks. According to the government's UK electric vehicle infrastructure strategy, interoperability is a cornerstone to improving the charging experience and accelerating EV adoption. In other words, relying on everyone having a different app for every charge point operator probably won't end well. I know that if Tom Callow, ex-BP Chargemaster in MyEnergy and former podcast guest, is listening to this, he'll be screaming at his device, "But contactless solves all these problems!" And he's probably right, to a point. In theory, contactless is the universal solution to interoperability. It's something you already have, it doesn't need a separate account, it works in just about all countries, etc. But in practice, there are a number of downsides. Firstly, there's the pre-authorization bit. With your contactless card, you're going to be charged a hefty pre-authorization fee in some cases each time you connect. For roaming services, that isn't always the case, although the plug surfing roaming service will also allocate cash to pre-authorization when you charge. Also, as I experienced last year, if I go to a car park and use, say, a connected curb charger while I'm parked, there's no contactless reader on that. But with Connected Curb, I can use my roaming service without worrying about the contactless payment. Which means that, in practice, contactless payment is not the universal solution to everything. Now, I mentioned the government's UK electric vehicle infrastructure strategy a little earlier, which brings us quite nicely onto the rules and regulations. Let's see what they say when it comes to the Public Charge Point Regulations 2023 and roaming. The Public Charge Point Regulations 2023 state that operators must enable consumers to pay through at least one third-party roaming provider at their charge points. But note what it doesn't say. It doesn't say which third-party service the operators must use. And there's a good reason for that. It would make one service a monopoly and that has issues of its own. But it also doesn't give a potential list of roaming providers, which means that those CPOs who don't really want to provide a roaming service can choose a really small or really obscure one and link themselves to that. Take GridServe, for example. They have a number of different solutions that allow third-party roaming providers, but they fall into three distinct types. There are those roaming operators that allow fleets to operate, so that includes Allstar and previous podcast guests Power, but that's no good to me as a private individual. There are those that allow specific brands of vehicle to roam, and that includes OEMs like Porsche, for example, but that's no good to someone like me who isn't connected to a specific EMSP for my car. And then finally, there are those that allow anybody in any car to roam, and this includes services like DKV and plug surfing. And that is what I'd need to use if I wanted to roam at GridServe. The problem, of course, is that for anyone living and driving in the United Kingdom, neither plug surfing nor DKV are particularly well known or widespread services. They're mostly used on the continent where GridServe don't operate. So why would a CPO deliberately choose a roaming provider that wasn't one of the bigger ones, or indeed one of the more well-known ones? Well, there's one word: control. Every time someone uses a CPO app or RFID card, that gives the CPO control over the customer that is lacking when they use contactless or a roaming service. Every charge done via an app or a CPO RFID card is tracked and logged by the CPO, and it helps them form a picture of the customer and the charging habits. With that data, they can, in theory, provide a much better service to you as a customer. But that might be a much better service from the point of view of the charge point operator, not from the point of view of the customer. For example, over a year, if you only used a charge point operator's app, they'd be able to build a pretty good picture of your charging habits, your movements, your vehicle performance, and lots of other things. If you pay by contactless, especially if you use multiple different contactless cards, they lose that overall picture. The same with roaming. The data around the customer and the payment are not accessible by the charge point operator if you use a roaming app or RFID card. That all resides with the roaming service. Yes, the charge point operator can tell how fast you charge, average charge speed, whether it was CCS or CHAdeMO, total energy used, and a couple of other things related to your battery. But that just becomes individual charging sessions. If they can link that to you as a customer, it's very powerful and valuable to the charge point operator. There's also potentially a cost issue to bear in mind here, and we'll come to that later. So let's have a look now at who are the main roaming operators in the UK. There are probably four roaming operators that work in the UK that are well known and widespread. These are ZapPay, Octopus Electroverse, Shell Recharge, and OVO Charge Anywhere, that used to be called Bonnet. Each of these covers a large chunk of UK networks, and in some cases European networks, but none of them covers all. For example, I can't use any of these networks and charge at, say, a BP Pulse charger, as they don't roam with any of these four services. In fact, there isn't a single roaming service that can be used to access chargers in all of the top 10 networks as listed in a ZapMap customer satisfaction survey for last year, and we'll come back to that point a little later. You may know of other services operating in the UK, and I'm not saying that there aren't any, but in terms of the UK-based customer base, I would suggest that these four are probably the most well-known. So, how do these roaming operators make money? It's quite simple. They take a margin on each kilowatt hour that you buy through them. Some of them will keep the price you pay the same as the contactless amount and then get the electricity at a discount from the charge point operators. Others will pay the charge point operator the same price as the contactless price and add a margin on to cover their costs. Here's Melanie Shufflebottom from podcast sponsor ZapMap, who operate the ZapPay service, with a bit more detail.
ChargePoint networks, of course, set their own direct pricing. They may have a number of different price levels dependent on the payment method. So pay-as-you-go via contactless may be a little higher than via their app or some kind of membership scheme. And increasingly, we're also seeing the rise in off-peak pricing options. In terms of roaming, the market has really moved on in the last 12 months. At ZapMap, we now roam with around 30 different charge point networks across en route, destination, on-street use cases, and covering tens of thousands of chargers across the country. This gives EV drivers choice and convenience. In terms of determining the price, there are different models. Either the charge point network agrees the price directly with the aggregator, typically the pay-as-you-go price, or they provide a roaming price, which aggregators are then free to add an additional amount on top. Currently at ZapMap, given the price of public charging is an issue for drivers, we don't mark up these roaming prices. And in fact, we offer discounts via our ZapMap premium offering. This works well when the roaming price is around the pay-as-you-go price. However, in some cases, the charge point network's roaming price is significantly above the pay-as-you-go price, and we and other aggregators have no choice but to pass this on to drivers. It's not really a good scenario, as it creates confusion and a lack of trust. Thankfully, this is not common, and most charge point networks recognise the key value that aggregators apps such as ZapMap offer, bringing EV drivers to their chargers, and also see the importance of giving EV drivers simple pricing and the choice of how to pay.
So, for example, if you visit an Osprey charging site and pay using ZapPay, you'll be charged the same price as if you paid with a contactless card. But if you use plug surfing at a GridServe site, you'll be charged a penny more per kilowatt hour for the privilege. I've already touched on this a little when it comes to why I prefer roaming to contactless, but let's go through some of the pros and cons. The primary advantage is the convenience for users who no longer need multiple accounts or RFID cards for different charging networks. As EVA England points out, simplifying the payment process encourages more users to consider EVs, potentially boosting adoption. If I don't need 35 different apps to access 35 different charge networks, it's going to remove friction and make it easy for me to charge, right? The second benefit of roaming services is that they're usually easier to get receipts from. Now, we talked before on the show about the fact that there isn't a single, standardized, simplified method of getting receipts from charge point operators. Pretty much every CPO does it a different way. Some need you to go to their website, some need you to scan a QR code, some need you to use their app, some need you to make a sacrificial offering to the charger gods and promise them control of your firstborn. But roaming services tend to have a list of all your charges in their history, and with a tap of each line, you can produce a receipt automatically. Any charging session, any charge point operator, very easy. Thirdly, we've talked about the pre-authorization, but it's a key thing. Different roaming services treat it differently. ZapPay will lock £30 temporarily in your account and allow you to pay using Apple Pay or Google Pay. Octopus Electroverse won't allocate pre-authorization if you're an Octopus customer. It just charges the full amount of the charge to your monthly electricity bill. Next, by enabling drivers to access a broader range of charge points, roaming can lead to better utilization of the existing infrastructure. It can reduce waiting times, and it can increase network efficiency. If you're passing by a network that accepts different roaming partners, you're more likely to charge there than if you're limited to a single network because that's the only app you've downloaded. So overall utilization will increase as new drivers come on board. They want the easiest, most friction-free way of charging. Outside of plug and charge, which we covered a few weeks back, a roaming RFID card or app is probably the least hassle. And finally, with roaming, drivers can plan their journeys more efficiently without worrying about charger compatibility, thus making the overall EV driving experience better. It's much easier to plan a long-distance journey if you know that whichever CPO you use, you can access it with the same system, the same car, the same app, rather than trying to navigate to the two or three CPOs for whom you've got their specific app or their specific RFID card. However, there are challenges and downsides for roaming too. Firstly, integrating roaming across different networks involves complex agreements and, in some cases, some significant back-end work. ChargePoint operators must collaborate and ensure system compatibility, which can be resource-intensive. Unfortunately, it's not a simple job of saying, hey, CPO, we want to roam with you. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. In fact, when Adrian Keane from InstaVault was on the program, he told me that there was a lot of time and effort devoted to adding InstaVault to the Electroverse. And secondly, the big issue with roaming is that it's not universal. Now, I've said it several times on the show, I don't really care which roaming network you use. All I want is that any roaming service that I choose covers all ChargePoint operators, or at least the major ones. As I said at the top of the show, there isn't a single UK public roaming network that can allow you to charge at all of the top 10 charge point operators defined in the ZapMap customer satisfaction survey. Every one of them has gaps. The top 10 large networks 2024-25 are Tesla, MFG, Osprey, BEV, GridServe, InstaVolt, Shell, ChargePlace Scotland, BP Pulse, and GeniePoint. If we look at the medium-sized networks, there's Fastned, Ionity, Apple Green, Mer, Evive, EVPoint, and ESB Energy. ZapMap covers 10 of those 17. Electroverse covers 13. Shell Recharge covers most of them, but not GridServe and BP Pulse. OVO doesn't cover GridServe, InstaVolt, Shell Recharge, and BP Pulse, etc. You get the idea. On top of that, different services have different geographic coverage. Plug Surfing, Shell Recharge, and Electroverse are European-wide. ZapPay is UK only for now, although ZapMap covers charges all across Europe. Now, another issue is connectivity related. Most roaming services offer both an app and an RFID card for users. You can use either or both, and ZapPay will be rolling out an RFID card for their premium subscribers this year. If you've only got the app, though, areas with low connectivity can be an issue, so bear this in mind. Another issue for roaming is price. Service providers may incur additional operational costs which could be passed on to consumers. These costs, if not managed effectively, could counteract the simplification benefits from roaming. We've already mentioned that some roaming services take the standard rate and add on an uplift to cover their costs. In some cases, it's a penny per kilowatt hour, but it can be much, much more than that. A charger nearby me is 55 pence a kilowatt hour for 7 kilowatt AC charging if paid direct, and 65p a kilowatt hour if accessed via Shell Recharge, for example. Finally, as with any digital transaction system, there are concerns about data security and fraud. Ensuring robust security protocols is vital to maintaining user trust. I was only reading recently of unscrupulous people who set up their own EMSP, i.e. a company that contracts with CPOs to allow their customers to charge with them, a sort of roaming service. They set that all up, they send loads of business to the charge point operator, and then when the CPO bills them at the end of the month, they find that it's a fake company, it's been closed, and the CPO has nobody to claim the money from. Looking ahead, the successful implementation of EV payment roaming could significantly impact the UK's green transportation goals. The Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders suggests that increased ease of use and interoperability are essential steps towards meeting the 2030 ban on new petrol and diesel vehicle sales. Moreover, initiatives like this are paving the way for greater interoperability through partnership models that span various regions and charging networks. And roaming services are not perfect in terms of either CPO or geographical coverage, but for my money, they're the better solution for ensuring seamless charging. So, roaming, is it a yay or a nay for you? Let me know, please. info@evmusings.com. It's time for a cool EV or renewable thing to share with your listeners. The Port of LA terminal has just ditched all propane forklifts for electric. SSA Marine has switched all forklifts at Berth 55 in the port of Los Angeles from propane to electric, making it the first terminal to use 100% zero emissions equipment in the country. This will reduce propane use by about 44,000 gallons per year and cut carbon emissions by 264 metric tons annually. The project was completed 5 years ahead of schedule, supporting the port's goal of making all yard equipment emissions-free by 2030. 264 metric tons a year doesn't sound like a lot in the big scheme of things, but that's one berth at one dock in one country. Replicate this globally, and you're talking some serious numbers. The EV Musings podcast is sponsored by ZapMap, the go-to app for EV drivers, helping you find and pay for public charging with confidence. ZapMap is free to download and use with subscription plans for enhanced features, such as using ZapMap in-car on Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, and discounted charging across thousands of charge points. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's show. It was put together this week with the help of Melanie Shufflebottom from ZapMap. Thank you, Melanie. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's show. If you have any thoughts, comments, criticisms, or other general musings to pass on to me, I can be reached at info@evmusings.com. On the socials, I'm on Blue Sky at evmusings.bsky.social. I'm also on Instagram at evmusings, where I post short videos and podcast extracts regularly. Why not follow me there? Thanks to everyone who supports me through Patreon on a monthly basis and through coffee.com on an ad hoc one. If you enjoy this episode, why not buy me a coffee? Go to coffee.com/EVMusings and you can do just that. ko-fi.com/EVMusings. Takes Apple Pay too. Regular listeners will know about my two ebooks, So You've Gone Electric and So You've Gone Renewable. They're 99p each or equivalent, and you can get them on Amazon. Check out the links in the show notes for more information, as well as a link to my regular EV Musings newsletter and associated articles. I know you're probably driving or walking or jogging now, but if you can remember and you enjoy this episode, drop a review in iTunes, please. It really helps me out. If you've reached this part of the podcast and are still listening, thank you. Why not let me know you've got to this point by messaging me at musingsev.bsky.social with the words, just call me the Wanderer. Hashtag if you know, you know. Nothing else. Thanks, as always, to my co-founder, Simon. You know he's incredibly annoyed at his local council, who've decided to enact a law banning the use of electric unicycles inside the main Tesco store in town. They think it could be dangerous and encourage antisocial behaviour. Simon claims it's all perfectly safe, but the council have hit back saying,
it's not really a good scenario, as it creates confusion and a lack of trust.
Thanks for listening. Bye.